Okay, we ready? Are we on? We're going to, the title of today's session is Dolls, Dogs, and Blinkies. We're going to talk about security items and hiding places in our life. I had a vision. Some of you might have heard this vision of Augusta that I had back in, I think it was April or so, February or something like that. Anyway, I'm going to share that vision with you first of all to give you an idea of what I'm talking about with our security items. You know, sometimes we have a kitten or a doll or something. We don't trust people, and we take that security item and we cry on it and we tell our pains to that animal or that doll or that stuffed bear, teddy bear. We have something that we take in the privacy of our hiding place, and that's where we pour out all of our real fears and pains and emotions and guilt and shame where we can't tell anyone else. That probably should have been only before you met God, but some of us still have done it. But a few days ago, I had a vision of a doll. She was about 4 foot tall. It was really big for a doll and had curly hair like Shirley Temple. And she represented a girl of about 4 years old. She wore a dress. It was like a stiff plastic doll, but she was running very fast. That was the first time I saw her. I had no understanding of that vision. I asked the Lord about it, but there was no answer. The next day, I saw the doll again. I looked at the entire scene this time, and I realized she was at a train station outside by the tracks. She was running toward me. There were buildings on her left and the tracks on her right, and there were two sets of tracks, one parallel to the other. One veered off. The doll came to mind again, and I asked for more information. This time, a train came on the parallel track, and as it passed the running doll, I saw my mother in the window of the train. She stared at the doll as she flew past it. The running doll remained in the scene, and it was significant. I didn't know why. The Lord reminded me, even now, that my mother was wearing glasses. She never wore them until she was older. And they were those thick-framed, really ugly glasses, you know. The next day, this vision, and I want to tell you about visions and dreams and revelations. They frequently come in pieces. Sometimes you just get a piece, and a piece, it's like a puzzle. You have to write them down and gather those pieces to put them together. Sometimes you get pieces and other people get pieces. So if you share them with people, they often bring you the interpretation, or they bring another piece and put together, you figure it out. So the next day I saw the doll again, very briefly, and I asked the Lord to tell me more, and he said, August. The fifth time I saw the doll and asked for revelation, the Lord said, no, not August, Augusta. It began to unfold a little bit. Augusta is a name that was used back in the days of my grandmother, or maybe even her grandmother. So as I write, I feel that it was her grandmother. The doll's name is a representation of a name of my great-great-great-grandmother. There are so many revelations coming all at once. Dolls represent any toy or pet that's owned by a child. The reason the doll was so big is that it has come from the past, but now it is right here. It has grown in size. It is very, very close. It's a big issue to understand the doll. The Lord told me that he holds Augusta in heaven with him. Though she's not alive, her dress has been soaked with the tears of many children throughout the ages. Sometimes children pour out their pain and their secrets to a doll or a dog or a kitten or some other pet or toy. Maybe even a little bird. As I speak, I can even imagine a little boy picking up a leaf in the woods. His own tears have fallen upon it, and he drops it back to the ground and walks away in despair. But the breath of God blows upon the tiny leaf that holds the boy's tear, and the winds lift it into the air, and the hand of God invisibly reaches out to receive it and bring it into the treasury of his heart, where all the Augustas are kept. I believe that there is never one tear that falls that is not collected by our Heavenly Father. Augusta, the running doll, has picked up speed as she runs from the past, out of the painful secrets of my ancestry. She is desperate to reveal her secrets. She is desperate. Her dress is tear-stained. She runs with both arms outstretched to me as she pleads, "Rescue me! Rescue me! I am your child. I am the innocence of childhood within you, and I want to be free. I want to laugh and play. I want to grow up in love. I need a new dress." As I ask the Father how I can set Augusta free, he reminds me of where she is. She resides in the treasury of his own heart. If I want to bring her to freedom, I must visit the heart of God. I must face the tears I have placed upon her clothing. Only the healing love of God can do this miracle for her, for me, in reality. But there's more. You have an Augusta, or a Rover, or a Spot. You need to visit the healing heart of God and open yourself completely to his process of healing. That's step one. Then after you find wholeness, you can bring all the forgiveness to your entire bloodline. It's time to understand the vision of mercy. One drop of blood can go back through the graves and release the sentence of death throughout your family's bloodline. I shared that when we talked of the power of the bloodline, but today God told me to share that as we talk about dolls and dogs and blankies, security blankies, all those things that were our comfort, our place that we poured out the reality of everything inside of us. Sin hides in the secret place. Genesis 49, 5 and 6. I'm going to look that up with you. Genesis 49, verse 5 and 6. We don't only hide our pain when we go in the secret place, we also hide our sin there. Father, we ask you to come and do what only you can do this morning. We ask you to visit us in our secret place. We ask you to uncover the things that have been hidden for so long. We want them to come out into the open today. Simeon and Levi are brethren, instruments of cruelty in their habitation. O my soul, come not thou into their secret, unto their assembly. My honor, be thou not united, for in their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they dig down a wall. These two brothers had a secret. In their secret, they murdered a man. In the secret place of our heart, we commit sins that no one knows about. Because the Lord said, if you commit it in your heart, in your mind, you're guilty of it. If we were to truly go inside of ourselves and say, what are the secret sins of my heart? Have I committed murder? Have I wished someone were dead? Have I hidden lust? And all kinds of evil things that I think nobody can see me because I'm in secret. God says, come not into their secret. Come not into a secret place of hiding sin. In a vision, I saw someone shoot another person and murder them. I thought they were literally going to do it. And I stepped up to the murderer to take the gun away. And I got shot, but I didn't die. But it turned out that what God really wanted, I think we have someone coming here to get in if we're locked. It turned out what God really wanted was for me to step in between that person and their hatred. He wanted me to go to them in love and take that gun out of their heart and be able to minister to them so the murder would be removed from their heart. It wasn't a vision that was literally happening. It was a vision of the condition of their secret place and what was in them. So I did. I talked with them, and God ministered to them, and I believe he took the murder out of their heart. And possibly they would have really done it someday. But there's a lot of good Christians who truly love God sitting in church with murder in their heart. They don't even realize it. They think they're okay. They think they're doing all right. And they just keep stuffing those things down. They have sexual sins. They have murder. They have hatred. They have stealing. They have pride. We all have pride, but it manifests in so many ways. And we need to let God go deep and look at those things in a reality and bring them into the light so that God can remove them. There's a reason that they're there. And that reason they're there usually leads back to some healing that you need. So we have to face sin to get healing. We have to face healing to find sin. It all is like kind of a cycle. We get hurt, we sin. We get hurt, we sin. We get hurt, so we sin some more. And it's all wound up and twisted up in a big spider web. And God wants to untangle the whole mess and get rid of it all so we can be free. Psalm 90 verse 8 says, God, you have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your countenance. That's what we need to come to him saying. God, I invite you to bring your big holy searchlight into my darkness and shine into those secret places. Psalm 69:5. If you want to write these down, if you can't keep up, write them down and read them later. Oh God, you know my foolishness and my sins are not hid from you. You might hide them even from yourself, but they are not hidden from God. Mark 4:22. For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, revealed. Neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. That word abroad means to light. Nothing was kept hidden that would not be brought into the light. So maybe you're the only one that doesn't know. Sometimes people look in your eyes and they hear an attitude and they may know what you don't even know or you don't even admit. But God sees everything. We want to create a vision today. We haven't done this in here, but we're going to create a vision in a little while where we're going to bring God to our hiding place. We're going to go to that place of hiding and open the door and invite God to come in. Whether it's a hiding of pain, hiding of fear, hiding of sin, we have those places that we hide, but nothing can hide from God. Maybe you used to, I used to, hide in a closet when I was a child. I used to hide in the bushes behind our house. We had the most beautiful bushes around the back of our house. And then we had lilac trees. I could hide in these bushes and I could see the lilac trees and I could watch my sister and brother would come in the yard and play and they never knew my spot. They didn't know I was watching them. That was my hiding place. Sometimes I felt good in the hiding place. Sometimes I went there when I felt terrible. I was a hider, so I had a lot of hiding places. I could relate to hiding in my room alone. I remember watching out the bedroom window, and I would watch the other neighborhood children. We had a corner that like three roads came into this one spot, and then there was a street light over it. And the kids would go out there and play badminton in the road and all kinds of things. They just, neighborhood kids would meet out there and play. And I could see over into Julie's yard. She was a real confident, popular, real strong girl. And I always admired her, but I was scared to death of her, you know, jealous of her too. But I could see over into Julie's yard and watch her playing with her friends. And I was a watcher. I watched out that window and I saw other people live and have fun. But I was afraid of them. I used to wish I was invisible because I liked to watch people have fun, but I didn't want them to know I was there because I was afraid of them. So after I watched them all play for a while, then I would just go and get out my little dolls. They were like Barbies, but they were called Revlon dolls. And I'd build my own little world. There's the mom and the dad, and here's the kids, and here's me. I always had the princess dress and the perfect hair, and I made myself everything I wished I could be in that doll, my imagination world. But I hid from reality because I was afraid of them. I could relate to climbing in bed, pulling a blanket over your head, and feeling all alone in that place under that blanket and getting my little white kitten in there with me and then whispering everything I really felt and thought to that kitten. Nobody else could know. So I had a lot of hiding places. I had to go to school. I mean, up until seventh grade, I had to go to school. I hadn't figured out there's a back door and I could just go in, go out, and skip all day. But up until seventh grade, Mom took me and I stayed. But I hid. I'd try to get the desk at the back of the room alone. I remember taking little blankets and dolls and going on the playground and finding the furthest corner from anyone and setting my blanket and my dolls and staying there all alone through recess. I wouldn't play with the other kids. I had so many hiding places, my secret places, where I felt safe. There's good secret places and there's bad secret places. God wants to come into both of them. We're going to invite God to come. We're going to invite Him to come in with the light of truth and shine it there, to bring revelation, to bring repentance, to bring healing, to bring His love. We're going to share those locked up emotions with Him, and then He can invite us to come to His secret place. You see, God has a secret place too, and it's a really good one, and He wants to invite you to come to His secret place. Psalm 91 says, "He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." Under the shadow of the Almighty. "I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. In God, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snares of the fowler and the noisome pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers under the wings. Under His wings shall you trust. His truth shall be your shield and buckler." There's a hiding place that can travel with you everywhere you go. The great mighty wings of God. The wings. That's one thing I guess we're not created in His likeness. We don't have any wings. Yes, maybe we'll get some. I don't know, in our glorified body. But He talks about the shadow of His wings. Sometimes when the sun is beating down and you're just roasted and you're looking for shade, shade is the shadow of a tree. It has no substance, but it shelters you from that bright burning sun. God's mighty wings are like a shelter. And He describes it as the wings of a bird, because He goes with you. Everywhere you go, there He is, like a bird right above you, keeping you under those wings. I've had visions where I felt like I was right up under the very, very downy white feathers, safely cuddled under that feather. And you just feel like you're wrapped up in a feather bed, you know? It's so safe and comfortable and soft. But I carry my home with me now. I used to not like to ever leave home. I really don't like to leave home. I'm put me in my own house where I feel safe, my own church where I feel safe. I get insecure when I have to go out. And God gave me a vision of a Holy Spirit house. This is my safe place. This is my shelter under His wing. And it's built by the Holy Spirit. And He said, "You have a front porch in your house." And when you meet somebody, you can meet them on the front porch where you talk to them, and you're not in the intimate place of yourself yet. But if you really feel you can trust them, you can open the door and you can invite them to come in to your living room and sit with you. You can take them in your kitchen and have some coffee with you. Here you can begin to share with them. And this is the house within me of the Holy Spirit. It goes everywhere I go. If we feel really comfortable and I'm really beginning to see they love God and this is a person that I can really trust, then I may invite them into my private chambers where only a few people get to come. You see, you don't cast your pearl before swine. You love everybody. You minister to everybody. But some people you got to minister to on the front porch. Some people you can bring into your living room or your kitchen and begin to share some of yourself with them. Not many, to be honest, can even come into your living room because they're not healed enough. But some we can bring into that place. Very, very few people you can bring to the inner chambers where you can really pour out everything, knowing this is a person of God that you can trust because they love God. Still, you will get hurt. But if you know somebody loves you and you can trust them that way, you can forgive them when they hurt you and repair it. So it's up to you who you let in your house. But the Holy Spirit will be your house. He will be your secret place. He will be the wings of God covering you everywhere you go. And to me, I'm in that Holy Spirit covering everywhere I go. Everywhere I go. Some people I come out to the porch. Some people I bring in. So you're safe. He just goes everywhere with you. But in order for you to live in that place, first you have to bring Him into your secret places. You have to give Him some trust. You have to give Him some truth. because he needs to heal you. The way you think, the way you behave, the way you relate is all based on your belief system, on the amount of pain you've suffered, on the amount of healing you've had, on the sins that you've committed, the forgiveness you've received. All these things God wants to do for you so that you can get free. Truth blocks the enemy. Truth reveals the enemy. Truth will set you free. You have to bring him into that hiding place with truth. You have to bring every single thing that you don't want to think about into the light of truth. Somebody want to go ahead and start that music? Because I'm going to lead you in a prayer, but I want to go ahead and, Ruth, the violin, whichever one's in there. I think it's River 3 or 4, one of those. I'm going to lead you in a prayer to invite God before we start soaking this morning. And I want you to picture yourself in your hiding place as we pray. If you never had a hiding place, I mean, I could immediately pick one. I've got so many. Which one do I feel safe in today? That's the one I'm going to choose. But if you don't have one, if you do, I want you to picture that right now. I want you to picture yourself walking down a wooded trail, standing on a sandy beach, laying on a blanket in the sunshine, or in your room. Whatever feels like a safe place to you, I want you to picture yourself in that place as we pray. Some of you might like to come to a chair by a window in your bedroom to watch the birds fly out in the sky, watch the little squirrels run and play. Somewhere you feel comfortable to be alone with God. And I want you to pray this in your heart, along with me. God, I invite you into my hiding place. I want to share everything. All my pain, all my grief, all my guilt, all my fear. I want to share and be honest. I want to tell you the things I can't tell you. I release everything I've cried or spoken to that security item to be told to you. In fact, I want to take that little security doll or whatever yours is right now, and I want to imagine it being able to speak and give it permission to tell me. Because maybe it holds things I don't even remember. Bring back to my remembrance. The only enemy that would be shown up would be the one hiding within that you're going to expose. We will not be afraid to face him with you coming without being convicted, exposed, revealed, and kicked out. So God, we trust you to keep us safe. We ask you to keep us safe. We ask you to deliver us into your truth and to bring your awesome healing and do what only you can do. We wait for the Holy Spirit to come. get somewhere where you're comfortable. I'll bring some pillows out of the office. If you want pillows, we'll bring some pillows up.